Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Anna's Journey here on Blog Talk Radio. I am the show's host, Anna Renault, and I'm always excited to be on the air, really looking forward to chatting with a really interesting author who has a number of books out on Amazon and other locations, and I'm just hoping that as the show progresses today, that we don't wind up with some technical issues that I've already had this morning that just makes life so crazy some days. But technology is good when it works, and then, of course, it just really goes crazy some days where, especially with my home internet link, somehow sometimes my neighbors and I get wires crossed or Wi-Fi crossed, and I'm trying to get something done, and next thing you know, they're signing off, my system goes off. It's like, okay, so what in the world is going on here? You know, it just makes you wonder sometimes of how good and how secure our internet system really is, and our sign-on information and our personal information. So we'll see what today's show brings. It's one of the joys of doing live shows. Before I do jump into the shows, I do remind people that they are recorded and that we have replay 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. My October airtime sponsor has been Ginny Robertson, LLC. And if you go to ginnyrobertson.com, you will see that Ginny has a mission to connect women around the world with their ideas, their purpose, and with each other. It is a fantastic organization. She started out with one meeting a month where women could come together and network. We now have about 8 meetings face-to-face each month in Maryland and 1 in Virginia. She now has online meetings, 3 each month for members, and then 1 for any woman anywhere that wants to sign in to Zoom.com or use the phone to come in. She's also a great seminar speaker, and she often hosts an annual conference once a year, usually in the fall, but we've postponed the fall 2017 until the spring of 2018. We're trying to get some specific speakers coming in, and it will be a fantastic conference. And certainly in the spring, hopefully, there will be lots of people who will be traveling, and we won't be bumping into the fact that school just started or holidays are just beginning and all those other things that certainly special events people have to deal with. I also want to give a big shout out to Lucky Dog Wellness. Jane Rainier is a canine wellness specialist. She really is helping aging dogs or dogs with chronic illness to have a better, safer, healthier, hopefully less painful aging process. So thanks, Jane, for all you're doing for me recently and helping me get together, because I am getting ready and organized, and which is how I crossed paths with Samantha Cole, who is the author I want to talk about today, as I get ready to attend the Great Lakes Book Bash. This was an event that took place apparently in 2015. They skipped last year as some of the authors were getting more books published, and it has been organized for October 27th and 28th in Kalamazoo, Michigan in 2017. We have about 70 or 80 authors who have signed up. It is going to be a fantastic, busy ballroom at the Radisson Hotel in Kalamazoo. People are coming from as far west. I've talked to someone from Nevada. Certainly people from all up and down the East Coast, and of course some from the Midwest. Michigan probably has the most, but considering the event is taking place in Michigan, that's not a big surprise. I have also talked with one or two authors that are coming down from Canada. It will be a fantastic group of people in the Kalamazoo room at the Radisson Plaza Hotel in downtown Kalamazoo. You need to buy a ticket in advance. There are several options. You can buy a $10 ticket for Friday signing only, or a $10 ticket for Saturday signing only, where you actually meet the authors and get them to autograph their books. Or you can buy a $15 two-day signing ticket, and you can come in Friday or Saturday. And there is a $20 Rockstar Pass, which allows you to come in Friday and Saturday, but you also get in early on Saturday. And you get to go to the various workshops and presentations, lots of different information for the $20 Rockstar Pass. Go to GreatLakesBookBash.com and get your ticket now. It is going to be a fantastic event. Let's bring Samantha on the line with us this morning. Hi, Samantha. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. I'm waiting for the sunshine to come out here in Baltimore, and it just doesn't seem like it wants to arrive, which means
I want to stay in bed.
But
we're having the same problem up here in New York.
Sunshine or not, I need to get out of bed. So, you know, life goes on and the day has started. I was also looking at Amazon at all of the books that you have written. You have been a very busy lady, to say the least. Tell people just a little bit about you, and then we'll talk about your books.
Okay. Well, I'm a retired police officer and also a retired paramedic, and my career was actually cut short from a car accident. And as I was recovering from several surgeries, I was sitting on my couch watching TV with my knee elevated, reading, and I finally decided to take a chance and see if I could write one of the stories that was constantly floating around in my mind, and the rest, as they say, is history.
That is true. And when you are a policewoman, for how long?
I was in the department for 6.5 years before I was in my car accident.
And then how long were you a paramedic?
Oh, I was a paramedic also for 6 years.
Okay, so you have a ton of stories, I would think, because every day as a policewoman, every day as a paramedic, you have stories. And I know certainly with my writing, some of mine are autobiographical. I've had a very interesting, crazy, busy life, and you have stories, and you want to share them with people. And so how many books have you published, Samantha?
Book number 19 is coming out next week.
Time for the book bash. Yay!
Yep. I will have copies of Salvaging His Soul. I will have them with me so everybody can get that one signed and be one of the first people to actually have it.
One of the things I like about this particular book event is the fact that they are promoting people to order their books in advance, which gives us,
yeah,
the authors, one, a chance to order them so we have enough for the people who we know really do want them, and give us a chance to autograph them in advance, because if nothing else, after a book signing, my hand is really tired. It really, I love signing books, but I really make sure that I plan on having my hand massaged the day after a book signing, because your hand does really get tired. And for somebody like me, who also happens to have arthritis, it's painful. And you don't want to go to a really great book signing, sell a lot of books, be really happy, and then have a sore hand. It just doesn't equate well at all, to say the least. So how did you get hooked up with Great Books Book Bash? Was it something that was advertised in your area? Go ahead.
Well, I'm on Facebook a lot, and one of my beta readers lives near there, and she told me that the event was coming, and she was dying to meet me, and could I please sign up for this event? And it took me 2 seconds to decide, yes, I am, and now I'm on my way.
Very good. It is going to be, I think, one of the best book events that I've attended, and I've attended several. And I'm actually attending another one October 14th in California. And as well organized as they are, because they do it every year, and they unfortunately do it outside, even though they have big tents and all that stuff, it's still outside and you're dependent on weather and all that kind of stuff. This event has all kinds of little tips and tricks and help to the authors that you just don't see everywhere, and it should be really an awesome. And the fact that it's ticketed, you really have a fairly good idea of how many people are going to show up. And then, of course, with the pre-orders, as I said, you really have some kind of idea that, you know, hey, there are going to be some people there who really want to get to see you, really want you to autograph their book. It really makes my heart, at least, really happy as an author to see that kind of interest from people who are really our bread and butter, our readers. Now, you mentioned beta reader. Explain to the listeners what you mean by a beta reader, because most of us, most people who are not authors, don't understand what that is.
A beta reader is basically somebody that the author has hooked up with, usually because they've liked the author's books in the past, and they offer to read the books before they get released. And they're another set of eyes to look for any errors that might have escaped the editor, and also storyline issues that may have gotten overlooked. And basically, they just also tell you whether or not they think the book is on par with all your other books that they've read.
And that's a really big help for authors. I know my first book was autobiographical. It's my life. It's my story. I know what I did and what happened. And I wrote this nice story. And I got this lady named Sandy to be a beta reader. And she said, you know, this was really a good story, except for that you went from A to C. I think you left something out. You might know what happened in between, but you've just lost your readers. You left us hanging. We don't know what happened between here and there, and it doesn't make sense. And it's like, yeah, really, if I didn't know the story and I read that, you're right. It doesn't make sense. I left a hole. I had to go back and do some editing. There weren't any typos. There weren't any, you know, messed up sentences or anything. It was just a hole in the story that I didn't realize I left out because I knew the story. I knew what happened.
Exactly.
It made sense to me. And it was like, I am so glad that I started using beta readers right from the beginning. So, you know, even with the most recent book that I published this January, I did the same kind of thing with the beta readers. Does this make sense to you? You know almost nothing about me, but you know certainly how to write, you know how to read, you know how to whatever. And I really did ask them, more so than the technical misspelled words, punctuation, that kind of stuff. I really wanted to know what they thought of the storyline. And it makes a big difference. So you said you had this car accident. You said you had your knee up. I certainly know from medical purposes, that's how my children's book series, Misty the Butterfly, got started. I was on bed rest for 5 months. You can only count the cracks in the ceiling just so many times. You know, you can. You need to do something. So had you ever thought about writing before that?
Actually, I honestly, not an adult novel. Back in high school, I had taken a creative writing class, and one of our projects was to write a children's story. And
oh, wow.
I took a story that my father had made up for us when we were little, and I expanded on it, and I got an A on it, and she had suggested, you know, I might want to try and submit it. But this was back before indie authors and the internet. This is way before everything that has made it so much easier for the authors that got turned down by traditional publishers to get their books out there. And it's always been sitting in my closet, and I kept saying, one of these days I'm going to do that. So I never had thought I could write an adult novel. But I had all these stories in my head, and I had no idea nobody else had all these stories running around in their head unless they were an author. And I finally, one day, I just had this storyline in my head that I opened up a Word document and I started writing, and that's how it all began.
And the rest is history. And
the rest is
you
history.
Said you're going to put out number 19. You know, I was looking at Amazon. Most of your books are in print. Some of them look like they're only in Kindle. Do you have a preference when you read that you prefer the Kindle over an imprint book?
There are still authors that are out there that I will get the print book, that I follow. I've loved them for years, and I want to have that book on my shelf. I had gotten, before Kindle even came out, I had gotten the Sony e-reader because every time I went on vacation, I was taking 4 or 5 books with me, the one I was currently reading, the 2 or 3 that was I was going to read during the vacation and one to start on the way home, and then just 1 or 2 extras so in case I started a book and didn't like it. So the e-reader was a miracle for me. All of a sudden, I only had this slim little device to take with me instead of taking up all the room in my luggage with all these books. So I prefer the e-reader now for that. But like I said, there are some authors that I want to have their books on my bookshelf. For the Kindle Unlimited, right now I only have 2 books with a co-author on Kindle Unlimited, and they're remaining there because she has got all her books on Kindle Unlimited. But back in December, January, I started removing my books from Kindle Unlimited so I could try and reach the broader audience. And once they were out, I was able to put them on the other sites, Barnes & Noble, Google, etc., and find a whole new group of readers that had never heard of me before.
Exactly. That's one of the interesting things about publishing these days. We certainly have the technology out there to get the book out to a lot of people. Personally, I don't use the Kindle only because with me being a writer, I am on the computer all the time, it seems like. I'm either promoting the books, I'm writing the books, whatever. When I sit down to read and just relax, I want the book in my hand. I want to turn the page. I really want that book experience. And, of course, I've been told I'm old-fashioned. Well, I'm 67. I'm old. I'm entitled, you know. And they say you just have to. Go ahead.
I think if I had started writing before I had gotten my Kindle, I probably would have thought the same thing. But because I had been reading on the e-reader for so long before I started writing books, it just was a natural progression for me.
But I also understand what you say in terms of putting books in your luggage, because I certainly have done that where I've traipsed around with 5 books in my suitcase on vacation. More recently, first of all, I haven't taken that many vacations. But second of all, if I was going to travel and do that much reading, I could certainly see the advantages to taking the Kindle. And I've had a few people who say they only will read on the Kindle, and if my book isn't on Kindle, they won't buy it. Well, have I lost a lot of people that way, or have I lost a few people that way? My other big concern is, technology keeps changing. How many books that are out Kindle or in the Nook or whatever are going to be lost when the technology changes? because a lot of us are not going to have the time or the energy or even sometimes the know-how to go back and reformat all those books. Now, you hope that when technology changes, they'll drag along the old technology or the old formatting so that it all works. Certainly when you have a Word document from 77, it's still good in 2007 or 2017.
Right.
But a lot of
I think the book world will keep up with the technology. It's not like the movies where we started off with a VCR and then moved on to a DVD, excuse me, and then moved on to Blu-ray and Lord knows what else is coming up next, where old movies in that form will not transfer into the new movies. But I think with the books being online and digital, I don't think that there's ever going to get to a point where you're going to have to redevelop your library all over again because
I think a lot of them are going to be lost, but that's just my personal opinion, and I'm certainly not a tech-savvy person because I certainly didn't grow up with the technology. You know, when I say something to one of my grandkids, I need help with this, they laugh at me, you know, and it's like, you've written 13, 14 books. What do you mean you need me to help? And it's like, well, I'm doing something I've never done before, and my computer is saying I can't do it, but I know it can. Other people have. I just don't know how to do it. But it has been an interesting journey, to say the least. How long have you been writing? Go ahead.
How long have I been writing? The home computers came out basically when I was in high school. So I've grown with them, basically. But even today, I mean, the technology is just coming at you so fast that there are plenty of things that I thought I knew how to do everything via computer, and I'm learning new stuff every day. So it's just an ever-evolving, you know, transition into the future.
Well,
so,
certainly in the 80s. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you to repeat your other question.
I was going to say, you know, back in the 80s, we were just getting personal computers on our desktops and whatever. I mean, laptops weren't around yet either. Things have changed so much. Do you write on a regular schedule? Like, do you get up every day and say, I'm going to write for an hour or two, or this is my job, I'm going to sit here, I'm going to write all day long? Do you have any specific pattern, or do you just sit down when the ideas are flowing and you say, I got to get this down?
I sit down and I start writing as the ideas for the next three books are already floating around in my head. So I have to get them down. Otherwise, I start to forget them and I have to get them down. But social media is definitely a hazard of the job because you'll get on for 2 seconds to research something, and then an hour later you realize you're still on there and you still didn't research exactly what you needed. So you got to go back and try and start again and hopefully not be interrupted by your notifications popping up and things like that. So I can get up and immediately start writing and write for 3 hours, or I can get up and spend 3 hours on social media and then say, oh no, I got to start writing. So it really depends on the day. It really does.
And then the other question I like to ask authors, with a traditional publisher, they pretty much give you a deadline. We want to have, you know, X number of chapters by this date. We want to publish by this date. And it can take a long time from beginning to end, whereas an indie author can sit down maybe for a few days or a week or two and just pound it out day in, day out, get this story written, and then out to your beta readers and have your book out in a month or two.
Yes.
Have you ever, what have you done as far as like the shortest amount of time, the longest amount of time to get one of your books out?
The shortest amount of time was my first book. The first book in the, actually, I shouldn't say my first book, because my first book was written back in 2011. I let my family and friends read it, and while the story was great, my writing stunk. I did every author don't. I had run-on sentences. I had dialogue tags all over the place. I just did everything that you're not supposed to. And, of course, everybody was afraid to tell me that the writing stunk. They said it was a great story. Well, I ended up giving it up for another couple of years, and then all of a sudden I had the first book in the Trident Security series in my head, and for about 2-3 months it just all formulated to the point where I finally said, all right, I'm going to give this writing thing one more try. I'm going to sit down and write it. And Leather and Lace was, the first draft was written in 1 week, 85,000 words.
Very good.
Which I still can't believe I did it. But
no, but I think now, it gives. Now yeah. What?
Now my, it depends on if I'm writing a novella or a full novel. I think the longest a book ever took me was about 2.5 months. But I was working on other things in between. And I was also dealing with some medical issues with my mom, so it took a lot longer. But on average, right now, a full novel can be written in 4 to 5 weeks. A novella, a little less than that, 3 to 4 weeks.
Now, you also mentioned that you had done this children's book back in high school. Did you, at that point in time, think that it was easy to write for children?
It's very difficult to write for children. I can tell you that.
I know.
and had the basis of the story not been something from my father, he had never written it down. I wish he had, but it was basically as I remembered him telling us the story a couple of times a week when we were really little, in addition to reading other books to us. And had I not had that whole story told to me so many times, I don't think I ever would have written the book to begin with. I probably would have gotten a C with whatever I had come up with. it is difficult to write for children because you got to get into the kids' minds. And you got to remember to try and think like a kid. And, you know, you need the repetition so it sinks into them. So it's a completely different type of writing from adult or even young adult books.
Well, I can say that's true because my first book was autobiographical about my first date cancers and a whole bunch of other medical issues and fatal car crash and all kinds of fun stuff. Then the second book, again, autobiographical, but it was more about my childhood, my crazy accidents, getting a fish hook in the eyelid, putting my arm in the washing machine wringer. I mean, some just crazy accidents, some that could be repeated and some like the fish hook in the eyelid. You could try a million times and never do that again. It was just a fun story. But I realized, like you said, you got to get into the kid's mind. So this was not just for adults to sit and laugh about this crazy lady that does all these weird accidents, but writing on the level of a child, their vocabulary, what they think, how they think. I mean, it was a totally different, and I'm thinking, this was supposed to be just a fun, cute book. And it took longer than the other one, and it was like, there's something wrong here. This shouldn't work this way. And then I did the Mitzi the Butterfly stories. Mitzi now has 6 books. And they were really based on stories my granddaughter and I made up about a metal butterfly on my kitchen wall. What would happen if Mitzi flew away? Well, Mitzi now has 6 books. She has flown away. she still hangs on the kitchen wall, but, you know, we have these 6 books. And again, the vocabulary, you know, making it so that it's something they can understand. And Mitzi happens to be an environmentalist, so it's all this stuff about soil erosion and clean air and clean water. And, you know, so you've got a little bit of science in there, and it's like, whatever made you think you could write books for kids? You know, it was like, this is the dumbest thing you've ever done, but it's turned out to be some of the most fun things I've done. And then, as I mentioned, I've had cancer a number of times, so I now have two books really written from a child's perspective about what happens in a family when you have cancer. My daughter was 7 the first time I had cancer, so it was really based on all of her, why this, why that, you know, and it's like, you got to think like the child. And it really isn't as easy as people think. But again, let's get back to your books. You have 18 books out. They look like they're all either romantic or a whodunit, or what do you consider the genre that you write?
Romance suspense. Being a retired police officer and paramedic, I need the suspense in there in what I read and what I write. I need my serial killers. I need my drug dealers. I need my kidnappers. But I have been able to branch out a little bit. The Friar completely came out of left field for me, and I was actually very nervous about publishing it to my readers because it was so different from my Malone Brothers series and my Trial and Security series. The Friar just occurred to me. We have a Brotherhood winery near me, and I was passing it one day, and Brotherhood stuck in my mind, and then the Franciscan Brotherhood popped up, and next thing I knew, I was writing this contemporary romance that, while it does have some suspense portions of it, the majority of it was the romance. And I was now dealing with a male lead who was a former Franciscan brother who has not even kissed a woman in 20 years.
Oh, wow.
From his teenage years. And then the female lead is a widow with 2 children who is strong enough to run her husband's family's ranch after he passed away. So it was a complete opposite from my alpha males and my, I don't want to say submissive females, because my females are kicked, you know, they're strong in their own right, but it was just I'm not used to having a female leading the relationship. And that was new for me, and it was new for my readers. And a lot of them had told me that they were very apprehensive going into the book based on what I had told them about it and the blurb. But it was great when everybody turned that last page, and all of a sudden I started getting all these messages that, oh my God, I love this book. I can't, it's so different from what you normally write, but I love this book. And it was such a relief to know that I had a different genre in me aside from the romance suspense.
And it gets to be a complicated situation as the author, especially when you're going to some place like this Great Lakes Book Bash. And, you know, do you take all 18 books, 19 books with you? Do you promote just your most recent book? I mean, it really complicates an author's life.
It does.
And
it does.
Certainly.
The way I've been doing it recently, the last couple of signings, is I bring enough of the first book in both series, and I bring enough of The Friar because that's my standalone, and then I bring enough of the most recent, and then I only have like 1 or 2 of everything that's in between. So this way they can see what I have, but I'm not dragging all these books to the show. And if I run out of a book, hey, great. If you want to purchase it, I will mail it to you as soon as I get home. So it is difficult bringing all these books, and it is difficult trying to figure out which ones people are going to want more of. I did one signing that I couldn't believe it. The flyer was a new release. A lot of people hadn't read it yet. A lot of people knew nothing about it. And even new readers who were coming by my table and that had never heard of me before were actually buying that book because it was a standalone. This way they didn't have to work on getting every book in the series signed.
Well, that was another issue that I wanted to bring up. When you do a series, and they've been teasing me about Mitzi the Butterfly, each one of her books certainly can stand alone. But if you are writing a series and you have this main character, are you seeing any pushback from your readers? Do they want to hurry up and get book two and then book three?
Yes.
Or however many
yes.
books? Or do they say, no, I'm not buying three different books? Or, God forbid, I read book three before I read book one?
Well, my books are also standalones in the series. They can be read out of order, although you'll get some spoilers in the later books for the earlier books. So it is recommended that they're read in order. But each one has its own happy ending, and I actually have a couple of books that really touched certain readers in different ways, more so than some of the other books in the series. Book four is Topping the Alpha. That was my first male-male romance. I've had people that want that book first. That's the first book they want signed from me. Another book was my first novella in the series was Not Negotiable, and that I wrote while my younger cousin was reaching the end of her battle with cancer. And I gave my character, this was her second bout with cancer, and she ends up beating it. You know, it is a romance and it is a happy ever after. But I couldn't believe the number of people that contacted me after that book came out that they had gone through cancer, that they are survivors of cancer, and that I had hit on every emotion and fear and elation that they felt during their journey to going into remission, and that they were amazed that I had done this and not gone through those feelings myself, but basing it on what I saw my cousin going through. And that they turned around and recommended this to their survivors group of cancer.
That is really good. Samantha, we're going to be running out of time real quick. The computer is already giving me my five-minute warning. Tell people how they can get in touch with you. Do you have a website? Do you have an email? What do you want to give people?
The best way to reach me is on my website. It's Samantha Cole, C-O-L-E, author, .com. Samantha Cole, author, .com. And that way there's a contact me page on there, so the readers can contact me. There's a list of all my books that are on there. There is the best reading order for the Trident Security series and the two spinoff series that came from that. There's some exclusive short stories on there. There's some free first chapters where you can go in and read the first chapter of several of my books to see if it's something that you'd be interested in. You can sign up for my newsletter there. There's games. All sorts of stuff.
Busy lady, my goodness. You need a whole team for all those things.
I started working with a personal assistant, so yes.
It does. You know, there again, it's another whole show, really, when you talk with authors, that people forget we actually become a business once we publish a book. You have to pay your sales tax. You have to do your accounting. You have to do all this stuff. You have to do your promotions. You know, there's
a
whole business
side. You have to
become a
marketer.
As well as, you know, I've even had a couple of people come to some workshops that I do and a writing group that I did. The book, I'm done. Oh, no, you're not. You've just begun. The work is now here. Thank you for spending part of your time with me this morning. I look forward to meeting you in Kalamazoo, Michigan at the Book Bash, and certainly hoping that lots of people pre-order our books and show up with a happy face and are just, you know, doing a really good job of supporting authors who are not going through traditional, because, at least in my opinion, I think traditional takes way too long, and they also take way too much of our royalties. So we will just be happy indie authors and just keep writing. Keep doing what you're doing. Apparently what you're doing is working. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I look forward to meeting you. All right, we've been talking with Samantha Cole, who has 18 books in print. Number 19 comes out next week, or I think maybe even this week. And she will be in Kalamazoo, Michigan at the end of October and be doing the Great Lakes Book Bash. If you're anywhere around and you can get to Kalamazoo, Michigan, please go online now, buy a ticket, get there. Come in. We have about 80 authors who are going to be with us. I want to give another big shout out to Ginny Robertson for being my airtime sponsor in October. She is connecting women around the world with their gifts, their purpose, and each other. She strives to give women a safe place where they can share their ideas, experiment with ideas, create community, help others, and achieve a self-defined success. We thank Ginny for all that she's been doing for women for at least the last 15, 16, maybe almost 17 years now. She also publishes On Purpose Woman magazine. It has been on hiatus while she was looking for a new printer, but the next copy will be coming out over the next month, and it's usually every 3 months that she puts out a new magazine with great articles, great information, certainly supporting entrepreneurs all over the place. She also does great seminars and workshops. I know she just finished a fantastic workshop. It's a one-day workshop. She gives it 3 days in a row for procrastination. Many of us do have a bad habit of procrastinating. She is a fantastic speaker and certainly somebody that you might want to get to know personally, face-to-face, or online. She gives you both options. Look up GinnyRobertson.com, GinnyRobertson. Thanks a lot for listening to Anna's Journey. I will be back on the air on Thursday with a woman that talks about decluttering and organizing. So take a look at blogtalkradio.com/Anna, A-N-N-A, hyphen Renault, R-E-N-A-U-L-T, blogtalkradio.com/Anna-Renault, or go to my website, annarenault.com. Thanks a lot for listening. I'll be back on the air again on Thursday. Take care.